Yes, people, what's going on? It's another Monday, so you know what time it is. The Club Podcast is back, and what a weekend of football it has been. We're going to get straight into that North London derby reaction, but just remember, we're brought to you by Super 6, the wonderful people at Super 6, and if you hit that link in the description, you can get involved and potentially win yourself £250,000 for absolutely nothing. But I'm here with Rory and Boovy, as always, so let's talk about that North London derby.
Should we talk about the game? I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Obviously, it's 3-2 to Arsenal. It's a huge away win. Let's talk about how it started for Arsenal. Absolutely fantastic in the first half.
I thought it was a great game of football. I think, you know, when we talk about the North London derby, for me as a neutral, as I usually am when these games come about, I think they are some of the best games to watch in the Premier League. And it showed that again. Obviously, Arsenal won the first half. And it was so comfortable for them. And I just thought they dragged Spurs into a game that Spurs didn't want to be in. And by that, I think mentally, Spurs were lost this game mentally because they were getting rattled. They were rolling around for free kicks, trying to win this, that and the other. And they weren't focusing on playing the game. And Arsenal were, and they battered them for it. 3-0. You can look at some individual errors in there, you know, but 3-0 down at halftime.
Yeah.
Against a team that you're trying to stop winning the league. It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. Should we go through the goals? Obviously, Saka scored an unbelievable opportunity. We were saying
was that
about
the second goal, wasn't it?
That was the second goal. What was the first goal? Remind me.
First goal was the corner that went.
Oh,
in.
The corner. Yeah, that the Højbjerg. Yeah, so that was shocking. But we said it at the start of this.
Højbjerg was shocking.
We said it previously because Spurs defensively had been so poor. The corner didn't even beat the first man. He's flicking it in his own net. But the second goal was where it killed the game, didn't it? Killed the steam out of Tottenham. Ben Davies left completely exposed to run, trying to chase Bukayo Saka. And Saka turns it inside now.
The non-penalty decision just before Saka's goal. Because Trossard runs across the player. I don't think he intentionally puts a tackle in.
It's Kulusevski, isn't it? Kulusevski has his ankle clipped, definitely. Whether you think it's a penalty is up for debate. But he definitely has his ankle clipped. I think you could suggest that Kulusevski could have stayed on his feet and opted into going down because he went down late. But ultimately, Tottenham had so many opportunities to stop that ending up in a goal. Ben Davies did nowhere near enough. It was a fantastic pass to Saka. The touch was exquisite. But Bukayo Saka desperately wants to take it on his left foot. So you have to force him onto his right.
I just don't think... I know what you're saying. You're spot on. But you can see Ben Davies trying to do that. I just don't think he's got the minerals to be doing
that.
No,
but he allowed him to cut in.
Udogie gets there and maybe they're a bit unfortunate with his injury for the game.
Do you know what I think we need to do? There's two things that coexist here. And I think it's really important that we give both of them some life.
Yeah.
When we're discussing this game, two things need oxygen. Firstly, Arsenal's brilliance. Okay, we have to acknowledge that Arsenal went 3-0 up away from home on the pursuit for the title at White Hart Lane. Like, in terms of can you win the league? Are you champions? Are you championship material? The answer is a resounding yes. To go to Tottenham and go 3-0 up, like, that is proper. That is proper. That away end was in raptures. And that is what teams do when they're going to go and win the league. I remember Chelsea going to Tottenham and battering them. I remember Man City going to Manchester United and battering them. I remember Manchester United going to Arsenal and battering them.
But we
that's
said
what you do when you win the
Spurs
league. And
there.
That is why Arsenal are capable. But Tottenham, we also have to give up. So I've said the oxygen that we will give in this review is there for Arsenal. And we should focus on why they were so good. But bloody hell, Tottenham.
Yeah, they played into Arsenal's hands.
God, Arsenal looked uncharacteristically shaky at the back. And still they don't drop points. Like, Tottenham were all over the place. And I think Ange Postecoglou should hang his head in shame for the way that his team
set. If you're a top-level manager, you understand the weight of the North London derby. You're always going to get chances. Even if Spurs are 18th in the league, you're always going to get chances to nick something against Arsenal. Why not keep your side in it until the final 30 minutes of the game?
I also think if your manager's coming out every week going, we're only going to play one way, and you're kind of like just giving your insight to your tactics for that. Where's the difference?
The shock factor.
Yeah. I completely agree. Like, I'm sure, and you know, if you think of all of the words that you can use for a good manager, one of them has to be pragmatic. You have to be pragmatic. You have to look at the opposition and deduce where the threat lies and work out how to nullify it. You can't just simply go, we are the Tottenham and we play this way and I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. I don't care who plays for you. This is our principle and this is how we play. Yeah, cool. That's how you end
it's
up getting battered.
If you're Brighton, but if you're Spurs genuinely chasing, you know, Aston Villa have dropped points to Chelsea. They could have lost the game. You're still chasing top four. Top five is not Champions League football anymore. There's a genuine ambition there to win something this season, which is, you know, a successful season, getting into the Champions League. And you're so naive defensively.
If they win today, why? Villa are there for the taking. If they win today,
course,
if they
games in hand.
Yeah. If they win today, Villa are there for the taking. And the fact that they capitulated, look, I think that what we have, because of the way Tottenham played, there's a sort of illusion that the game was competitive because the scoreline suggests that the game was competitive. But watching that game, I was about to say Arsenal fans would have never felt like the 3 points were in jeopardy, but maybe Arsenal fans would, because as a football fan, when you're so desperate, you start getting scared. Mm. But from our perspective, watching it without really having a dog in a fight,
it was hope more than expectation.
Arsenal were always winning the game. They were always on course for the 3 points. They were never going to drop it. And, you know, Tottenham sort of rallied. Arsenal made an error. And that's why the game became a contest. The reason it became a contest was nothing to do with the brilliance of Maddison, nothing to do with the brilliance of Postecoglou on the sideline, nothing to do with the brilliance of Heung-min Son. The reason that the game became a bit of a contest, or at least an illusionary contest, for the last half an hour was because David Raya decided to think that he's suddenly turned into like Beckenbauer trying to like...
I also think today, when you look at Spurs' best players, your Maddison's, Son's, etc. No, I think Arsenal battered them out of the game in terms of just... took them off their game. Arsenal were winning everything, pressing them, causing them problems, winning the tackles, winning 50-50s. Like, everything was going their way to a point where Spurs were then just hoping to win fouls, hoping to get people booked, and they weren't no longer playing their game. And you got to give a lot of credit to Arsenal for that. I think they played Spurs out of being comfortable at home.
They did, but Tottenham allowed it.
They gave themselves a buffer, which was a good success.
Yeah, but that's
from,
I think that frustration for Spurs come from Arsenal kind of beating them into submission. And not just through the goals, through everything they were doing on the pitch. Spurs were trying to play things out at times and they were just rushing them and it was coming straight back at them.
But that's because of the way that they've set up. That's because of the personnel that's been selected. They weren't strong enough. They didn't have enough steel in the team. They didn't have enough spark in the team. And when you have players like Sarr and Bissouma on the bench, it begs belief that they aren't starting a North London derby like this. It doesn't make any sense to me. Højbjerg is so clearly out of his depth, was so clearly out of his depth whilst he was on the pitch.
And Bentancur for me. At least Højbjerg takes up positions. He's not got the speed,
hey,
in my opinion.
Look at his own goal.
But yeah, oh yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, Bentancur for me as well. Someone's meant to get on the ball, get them playing. Shocking today.
Maddison.
Vacant.
Maddison.
Maddison was poor as well. The whole Spurs side were poor. But it says a lot.
Spurs whole team, Son, where was he?
Son was nowhere to be found.
Where were half these guys?
It says a lot.
And on your big day at home, to stop your rivals from winning a title,
yeah,
you bottled it, bro. And your fans would have turned up there with an expectation that you're going to do something. And ultimately, you didn't. Arsenal had it easy.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. But look,
hats off to them. Arsenal.
Arsenal did really well. There's no doubt that we have to praise Arsenal. They were magnificent. And aside from those like little errors, the game was out of sight so early in the game. And you know, Kai Havertz are probably man of the match. Bukayo Saka maybe man of the match.
Rice for sure.
Ben White. Yeah.
By the way, Havertz. Listen to this. I think I'm right, but Arsenal haven't lost against one of the traditional big six this season.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to win the league, you kind of have to.
And their away form is, I've never seen anything like it.
Mate, their form since the turn of the year. Their form since.
Fulham West Ham.
Since they went, over Christmas, the winter break that we had. They went to Dubai, didn't they? They had that, like, winter sun. They never looked back. They got back. Ben White turns into, like, one of the best right backs in the league. He becomes, like, this catalyst for everything good that happens. They barely conceded a goal since then.
Yeah.
The two centre halves have been brilliant. Declan Rice barely put a foot wrong. And that spine that they have at the very back, you know, the base of the spine, which is Raya, Gabriel, Saliba, Rice. Mm. I'd throw Ben White into this conversation as well, actually. They just haven't put a foot wrong.
No.
And that's why they've conceded the least, scored the most.
Weird errors, though.
Until today, the only one that I can really think of was Bayern Munich.
Yeah, the Champions League, they made a few as well, which you could argue if Arsenal don't win the league, you start then to go, or like they don't win anything this season, you start to have individual errors cost us.
Tottenham's the one.
We beat them a few weeks ago in the FA Cup.
What you said as well about Tottenham.
So I said Tottenham are idiots at the beginning of this show.
Yeah.
I said Tottenham are idiots. They are going to give 3 points to Arsenal and take 3 points off City and gift Arsenal the league. That is what Tottenham are going to do.
Imagine you're a Chelsea fan. You go into this. You've never won at the new stadium needing to win the league.
It's fine. If I was a Man City player with the mentality that they've got,
yeah, of course, but...
You look at that Tottenham team today and you go, how many do you want to score today early?
Yeah.
How many? How many do you fancy? Philip?
I think, you know, when Arsenal turn up to this game today against Spurs, they have there's no surprises in store for them.
No.
Because your manager all week, well, for the 2 weeks they've not had a game, is saying, we're going to go all out. We're going to play the typical Spurs, you know, all that bollocks. So why are you even going there expecting? You go in there expecting, right, they're going to be open. We just have to be clinical because we're going to get chances. There's no questions.
No, but that's what I've been saying. Like, but I don't understand why people don't have this conversation about Postecoglou. I think he's a distinctly average manager because he is so one-dimensional.
But like, you know, there was a period in January he was actually trying to be defensive. Do you know that? He tried that against Man City, kept it 1-0. Very, very tight affair. He made it two banks of four. Very, very narrow. Why did he do that against Arsenal? Why is he opening up against Arsenal, being because, as open
Mike,
as anything?
Because, Mike, we play
without,
this way.
Without Bissouma, without Sarr.
And we like to play attacking football. It's because he doesn't have the tactical nous and the ability to shake it up and change it. He knows. He literally knows how to play one way. And that is why his Tottenham team get battered.
We could see a League One on goal difference here as well.
Yeah, I know. And again,
if City don't lose and they draw,
well, it could have been 3-0. So it's only a 1-0 kind of goal difference.
But the goal difference, you got a big swing though. For
Arsenal have got the goal difference. Arsenal have got the goal difference in the bag though, mate. Haven't they? Arsenal got the goal difference in the bag, Booth. There's no coming back from that in the amount of games you've got. But unless you put 8 on Forest,
it's 57 for Arsenal and 48 for City.
Nine.
With two games in hand. Yeah. Pretty similar, isn't it?
I don't know. Nine in two games.
But if City score four today.
Yeah.
Nine in seven.
Which is possible.
The six games, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but two additional games because presumably they're going to score more goals.
Yeah.
They just battered Brighton for four as well.
Yeah, we've been smashing sides. Villa as well, we smashed.
I think Spurs win the league for Arsenal this year.
I've been saying it for ages. Do you know what? People like to TikTok me when I get things wrong. But I know I've been getting a lot right lately and nobody cares. But someone put me on TikTok for that.
The only thing I hope that people watching this don't think that we're not being massively praising of this Arsenal side.
We've done that.
At least giving them a buffer. Well,
I don't even think Arsenal has to be their best version of Arsenal.
It's Spurs heavy. It's Spurs. Of course Arsenal are going
to
beat them in this game.
I said it pre-game.
Arsenal were a bit shambolic at times. Very uncharacteristic errors.
They were.
Very uncharacteristic errors from Arsenal. But they made it so easy by gifting Kai Havertz a free header in the box. Yeah. They made it so easy by Højbjerg. Wicked, bang, wallop, have that into his own net, the donkey.
Yeah.
Crazy. It is shambolic. It really is.
Right, let's talk about the ups and downs in football from this weekend. Sheffield United obviously relegated, one of the worst sides we've ever seen in the Premier League, and Leicester City back up. Do you think that's
really?
Well, they're on 16
points.
Statement
you made.
16 points.
Yeah, I know, but
mathematically, they are.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I'm just saying in terms of mathematically, I'm looking at it.
Because the Derby team's the only one worse, right?
Derby's Swindon Town probably as well. But also the application, it's not Wilder's fault or Heckenbottom's fault. I think they've been completely hamstrung in terms of selling some of their best players in the summer. But they are, for me, they have to be one of the worst.
They're one of the very rare sides that were down basically before a ball was kicked. I think the feeling around the club was that they were prematurely promoted. They then got rid of their best players. They then embarked on a season where they weren't as good going into a Premier League season as they were the season before, where they were in the Championship. They were actually a worse team starting a Premier League campaign. So yeah, I think it's a fair comment to say that they're one of the worst Premier League teams ever. And yeah, they are comparable to the Swindon and Derby County side.
It's a weird one, Sheffield United, though, because you do feel, especially with Chris Wilder in place, like, he's there definitely next season. You know, they're going to see probably an overhaul. You wouldn't be surprised if he brought them straight back up. But they always just feel like a team that is kind of like West Brom. They just belong between the Premier League and the Championship. Too good for the Championship, too bad for the Premier League.
Yeah, of late. They haven't been bouncing around the way that, say, West Brom have. But of late, yeah, they're not a particularly good side at the moment. I don't think Wilder's done very well since he went in there. And I don't think, you know, sometimes you see a side go down, you're like, well, they'll be back up. I don't think that about the Sheffield United team. They might.
I think Wilder's the difference there, though. I think he's a really good Championship manager.
He struggled in the Championship with Watford and a few other clubs after leaving Sheffield United. He struggled as a manager. And it might work that he's a Sheffield United fan, but these guys are in the mud. And there's a lot of clubs next season in the Championship that won't get promoted, and they'll be absolutely exquisite, especially if Leeds don't go up or Southampton. There'll be a lot of competition.
You know, if you're a Sheffield United fan, would you rather a season in the Championship? I know it ultimately leads to you getting promoted, but like, you must just hate getting promoted, innit? To the Premier League, because it's like, here we go again, we're getting battered every week. Yeah. How can I enjoy this?
Yeah, but I think when your expectations are different. So I think, look, they'll enjoy next year. It'll be like a little bit of recuperation for them in the Championship. They'll win some games, they'll learn how to love themselves again. It's like a spa break. It's like just going to a spa break in the Championship for a bit. But they definitely want to come up, because even when they get battered, even if you support a team that isn't particularly good, you still get the privilege of like going to Anfield and Old Trafford and Etihad and whatever. You go to these stadiums, see your team play, and you hope to compete. So I don't think it dilutes your love of the
Wouldn't you rather be at Carrow Road winning than at Etihad getting battered, though?
No, because the goal of winning at Carrow Road is to play in the Premier League.
I know,
isn't it?
I just always wonder how you'd feel being one of those fans. Like, where would you rather be? Leicester City straight back up to replace them, though. Did we ever doubt that?
No,
they dropped a 17-point lead at one point.
No, it was never in doubt. I don't think they were ever not going to come up. They potentially weren't going to come up as champions. Mm. They certainly made hard work of it. But even when every time you see them on a telly, it's the players. You're looking at these players, you're like, hang on a minute, are you lot getting the Chelsea team?
Mm.
They were always going to come back up, I think. I never really
Jamie Vardy's played a huge hand in that as well, especially after seeing to bottle it. There was a lot of talk that he kind of grabbed the team together, had a discussion with them, got their minds refocused, and now they look like, you know, because at one point it did look like, you know, when you let that 17-point gap go, you must start,
and then
to just get back into the way of winning things again.
I'm glad they're back. You want to see Premier champions see them back? in the division. I think I like their fan base. Not the biggest club in the world, but of all the clubs that are in the Premier League right now, Brentford and Bournemouth, come on, Leicester should be in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you know Jamie Vardy? Weird friendships in football, right? Jamie Vardy celebrating the night that Leicester are promoted. Queen's Park Rangers beat Leeds, they're promoted. Jamie Vardy's on the FaceTime. Dennis Wise.
Why
is that?
I have no idea why they're friends. Obviously, Wise plays.
Wasn't Dennis Wise in the jungle with his wife?
God. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible knowledge.
And so they would have partied together and things like that.
Do you remember when I hit 100,000 subscribers?
Yeah. She had a mad wig
Rebecca
on.
Rebecca Vardy sent me a congratulation. I wonder where that text is. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I got a congratulation.
It was on that other show that time and they put it on.
Rebecca Vardy was working on Strictly Come Dancing with my wife. And my wife went, can you do a congratulations
That's amazing.
Message?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I hit 100K and it was Rebecca Vardy going, congratulations, Rory. I've got to find that video.
It's probably been deleted off the internet.
Possibly. It's somewhere. I'm sure we can find it. We have to talk about Mohamed Salah.
How funny was that, lads? I hate Liverpool more than you used to, but that was funny, innit? All to fall apart. Got to say, Man United probably pushed them over the edge by beating them with such a shit team. But we've beaten them. Now it's all falling apart. You've got Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp. The two individuals that are probably most responsible for their success
Do you know what? You're right. You did this. Man United actually... I didn't actually link that where it went so wrong for Liverpool was their Man United... Well, maybe even the Cup game.
Cup game, then the league
game.
Yeah.
Maybe
they couldn't beat you in either. Crazy.
They haven't beaten us all season.
No, I saw a great tweet about this saying, they were offered 200 million quid in the summer in Saudi Arabia for a guy over the age of 30. I know he's a Premier League great for Liverpool, but 200 million quid, an actual offer, crazy offer, and they didn't take
it. How much do you reckon they get from this summer?
Nowhere near. Nowhere.
Maybe not even that.
He's 1 year close to the end, 70.
No, once Klopp's gone and all that, and he's had this argument and all that, it starts to look a little bit different.
Contract's running down as well, so, it's harder.
He's older, 1 year older.
He could have got a lot. An FSG or a model. Look, I want De Bruyne to City. City have no reason to sell De Bruyne for financial gain.
How much did they
pay for Salah?
25 million, 30.
So they're still making a profit, but you're right. Like, there's a
200 million.
Mad. It's
200
mad.
Million. 200 million is like.
Because they could have done the Phil Coutinho thing again. With that, innit?
Could have brought in Guardiola as a long term, excited centre back.
And maybe Klopp don't want to go. Maybe Klopp spends that 200 million on some players, and all of a sudden he feels he's got that energy again.
Invigorated.
Well, he wouldn't have to do. Not that they haven't been good players, but Klopp would have loved to sign Declan Rice instead of Endo, wouldn't he? I'm not saying Endo hasn't been good. I mean, he's been brilliant.
Well, he was linked to Caicedo and Lavia, wasn't he?
Yes, and couldn't get either over the line. So we're 200 million. Although, it's still Mohamed Salah, isn't it? You still want Salah in your team.
But 200 million. And in hindsight, once he performed, he's performed decently. He's got a lot of goals, but since his injury, he's not been good.
Yeah.
What did you make of, if you were a Liverpool fan in the stands, how would you feel watching that? After the success they've shared together and all that, how would you feel watching that? If you were a Liverpool fan, would you be a bit gutted?
I don't think it's good. It could look. It's one of two things. It could be over now. It could be completely over. Not
I
an
never
issue.
See Salah friends, play
friends,
football again.
Friends argue. No. Sorry. What I mean is, the disagreement could be over. Yeah, like complete water under the bridge. Friends fall out. Friends argue. Friends shout. And I think that sometimes, particularly now, society is very precious and doesn't just kind of roll with it. Mates argue, mates can punch each other in the face. Like, it's not. Whereas I feel like it's either that and it's like completely fine. Sometimes you get two fellas in a pub, they go outside and have a fight, they come back in and have a pint together. It's not a thing. Or it becomes a feud and they never speak. And but I don't actually know.
The interesting thing there was that not only, it carried on after, didn't it? Because we saw Klopp come out and say, look, whatever happened, I'm not going to speak about it here. We've had a discussion in the dressing room. It's over.
Mm.
And then for Salah to walk through the mix zone where all the journalists are gathered and say, if I speak today, there's going to be a fire.
Yeah, which is that a huge... kind of reignited. You were right. That is a huge statement as well. Yeah, it would suggest that Salah isn't over it. But it also would suggest
Where do you think Salah's... Do you think Salah's coming from this angle? I've done so much for him with my career. I stayed here for another season when I probably didn't need to. And I'm getting treated like this when I'm the guy that's helped him win all the...
Treated like what, though? We don't...
Like being on the bench for the last two games in the proper running. Now, Liverpool fans and some other people would say, his form's been poor. He deserves to be on the bench. Mm. But Mo Salah won't feel like that. He'll feel like, I'm one of their most clutch players and I should be
he's also their top goal scorer. Like, whether he's been playing badly or not, he's way more likely to score a goal than Darwin Nunes.
Mm.
Like, profligate you think Salah's been this year, he's still their best goal threat. And I'm inclined to back Salah here, to be honest. I think there are certain players who, regardless of form, start, particularly when you need it. And maybe Liverpool don't need it as much, but I don't know, maybe De Bruyne. Regardless of form, regardless of what's going on, De Bruyne starts for you. Like when we were good, regardless of form, Lampard, Drogba, like they have to play.
But De Bruyne got taken off at Anfield. He was frustrated about that. And I didn't like how he talked to Guardiola. I don't think that's right. I think the rule of law has to come down. It's a hierarchy.
Well, and he shouldn't be
acting out in an emotional
environment. Because we're all getting emotional about football. Sometimes, I don't know, me and you will have a go at each other.
Yeah.
And
this is the place to do it. If you're representing your football club and your manager said you're not right to start this game, for whatever reason, we can debate the merits of it as a footballing debate. Maybe Salah should be starting or not. I think he's been poor in the last few weeks. Maybe he deserves a rest. He needs a rest. He doesn't look fully fit to me as well. You don't criticise the manager in public and throw your arms up.
But he's reacted even if you're to something a 20-year-old that was
kid,
said to him.
Even if you're a 20-year-old kid.
He's reacted he's to something 32. That was said to him, right? Because Klopp kind of approaches him. We don't know. We're kind of guessing.
We don't know what's been said either. That's the other thing.
We are guessing, but I'm guessing he said, hurry up, maybe add some intensity to getting ready to the game. Come on, get your head in the game sort of thing. He's kicked back at Klopp, which isn't right in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know.
Especially as an experienced player.
I think you shouldn't be seeing it. And I remember kind of like when you had Ronaldo kind of like undermining Rangnick at one point when he come off. And it's like, you don't want to see that. But I also understand that there's a lot of emotions in these people, especially like someone like Mo Salah, who will believe, I'm the best player in the Premier League. I'm the best player in Liverpool. Mm. I can win us this league. And then he's gonna feel some type of way about that. But obviously it's how you handle it. And you can start to see, maybe you don't act like that if Klopp's not going to be here. If he's going to be here next season. It's a little bit, you're not my dad anymore.
Yeah, a little bit, it is actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know, if the wording that we're surmising is correct, if Klopp has said to Salah, come on mate, look lively, get your head in the game, then I think that's quite minor and Salah shouldn't have reacted.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't know if that's what's been said.
Oh yeah, we don't know.
Do you think it's right for them to sell him? Do you think they should cash in now?
No, I think he needs one more season. If you didn't do it last summer, give him another year in terms of the new manager having someone with experience, it can get you guaranteed goals.
Especially
with
Klopp leaving.
The last thing you want is Darwin Nunes, Diaz and Gakpo.
Part of me agrees with Boovy, but then you've also got the flip side, which is you've kind of seen it with Spurs this season, although we've criticised Postecoglou a lot. When they let Kane go, more people step up. And if you get those funds for a new manager, because what a new manager doesn't want is he staying, is he going all next season again? So you kind of just want to move on, right?
Mate, with Klopp going, do you know, I don't even think this is a debate at all. With Klopp going, they need to keep Salah.
I think both are gone.
They need, maybe he is because he wants to, but what's best for Liverpool Football Club is to keep Mohamed Salah.
Yeah.
It sounds like I got this wrong. What do you think he's worth if they sell him?
80.
Okay, so they're not going to get him for 80. They're not going to get those goals, that contribution, that understanding with the club, that proven track record for 80 million. Mm. So they're a worse team without him. And he is still their best threat for a goal by a distance. Mm. So they need to keep him. Mm. Do you know what I think is quite interesting here? Let's do a Manchester City and Arsenal combined 11.
Why are you springing this on us?
I think it's a good idea. Full of them.
Based purely off this season.
Yeah.
This season.
So we can't go,
not off the top of your head,
he's been poor this season, but I actually like this guy, I prefer him to. We can't do that.
No.
Right?
No. This is purely on form the last 9 months of the season.
Yeah. Does anyone this need season. To study this and make notes, or do you think we can just go for
we can
it?
Do
I think
this.
Off the top of our heads.
I've got one
fantastic.
Kind of in my head.
I can memorize mine on my phone.
Okay.
I think the goalkeeper's pretty standard. I know Raya, this could be controversial.
Mm.
I love Edison. I think Edison's a better total keeper. I think Raya's been really good.
He's made some mistakes, but so has Edison.
He's made Raya's got the golden glove.
He's
made
it's purely mistakes. On form. It has to be Raya.
He's made two mistakes. He made a mistake against Bayern Munich, which is obviously huge. And he made a mistake against Tottenham, which could have been huge. But I don't think I think he's been basically flawless this calendar year. This entire calendar year, since he came in, he's won the golden gloves with games to spare. He's won the golden gloves despite the fact that he missed the first four games, didn't play either fixture against Brentford.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he is clearly the best goalkeeper in the league this season, undoubtedly.
I think there's a debate for Arsenal if they want to win the Champions League to get a world-class keeper moving forward. For right now, he's fantastic. Mm. Will he be is he the best keeper in Europe in the next couple of years like Alisson has been? That's a debate for me.
I don't know.
That's a debate.
But he's definitely the best goalkeeper in the league 100%. And he's in all of our combined 11s.
Yeah. Two centre-backs?
For me, it's Gabriel and Saliba.
I was going to go Saliba and Stones.
Stones is just the injury record. I want to put Stones out there for all these big debates we have on the club and other YouTube channels we do. But Stones has been in and out. He's a better footballer than both combined, in my opinion, in terms of how good he is. But he is injury prone a lot.
He has a big influence on City, though, doesn't he?
Huge. He's running the midfield against the Champions League fight, in the
although
final.
In terms of like a centre-half, in terms of like building a team that we're doing here, combined 11, we're picking two centre-halves. Not only individually, but the partnership of Saliba and Gabriel. I think Gabriel has been one of the... If I were doing a team of the year, I might put Gabriel in it. And he's not even the better one of the Gabriel Saliba. Gabriel, he's amazing in both boxes. He's a great threat for a goal.
Is there out of Europe? You've seen a lot of brain farts from Gabriel. And I remember saying to you, I still think he's the same player that he was 12 months
ago. He's improved.
I think he's just being carried a little bit by Saliba.
No, I disagree. I think he's massively improved. I think he's lethal for them in both boxes. And he's also that edge, just that little bit of sneeriness that you need in the team.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Brazilian, isn't it?
I think he's excellent. I really do.
I would go Saliba and Stones, personally.
That's your
team. I respect
team.
That. I think Diaz is a better defender than Stones is, but on form at the moment, the two are from Arsenal.
And then, I'm currently a hat-trick of Arsenal. And so are you.
Yeah, so
I'm 2-1 to Arsenal.
And what about...
Left-back?
Left-back's very difficult. Left-back's very difficult.
This is my first City shout. I think it has to be Guardiola. Has to be.
Based on form this season?
On, he scored an unbelievable goal against Real Madrid. I know it's the Champions League, it's not the Premier League debate, but he's been really underrated in the Premier League for how good he is on the ball, positionally very, very smart.
Great goal.
Do you ever see him get burned or
the weakest
twisted?
Position for both
yes,
teams?
Yes, by a mile. There's no clear winner.
He's better than Tomiyasu this season, in my opinion. He's been injured a lot. And Kirior.
Better than Zinchenko.
Yeah, Zinchenko. You can do one.
Better than Zinchenko.
Guardiola. I kind of tend to agree with that. But
I thought you might have said Ake.
He's been playing centre back when he has played.
Right.
Yeah.
Right back, Kyle Walker or Ben White?
Ben White by country
mile. Are you going? Are you going Guardiola as well?
Yeah. Boovy's convinced me to go Guardiola because, again, I didn't really have a left back. Really. I was going to go Ake maybe.
I was going to play Ake there because, it isn't an Arsenal player. It's the one position where it's a City player because Arsenal don't even have
it. Coming for a huge price tag, £85 million. Huge money. And he's been so solid. He really has.
Mm. At right back, I'd go Ben White. Yeah, I'd edge him ahead of Kyle Walker. Walker's had a very good season, though.
He has been decent,
I know he's made a few
I know, he's getting done a bit, man.
He's had a few ricks, but I think he's some of the recoveries he makes at times and stuff like that is incredible.
Ben White not having to make those recoveries.
Together.
Ben White's a nasty footballer. He's the one player you don't want to see on the oppositions. I know he's a right back and fullbacks aren't as important as players maybe down the middle of the pitch, but he's instrumental. Even when he gets on the ball, he scored two great goals against Chelsea. I know one's a little bit lucky, but he's getting into his forward positions. He's unbelievable. As a total footballer, what he can provide, unbelievable.
And he's so pivotal to everything that Arsenal do because if you want to sort of flag the brilliance of Bukayo Saka, a lot of that happens down that side because of Ben White. Mm-hmm. So I think it is Ben White by a distance. I think you could almost argue that this calendar year, 2024, Ben White's been Arsenal's best player. I think he's been that good. So it's virtually Arsenal walloping it.
Says a lot about the title race, how good they've been.
Moving into the middle.
Do you want to do your midfield threes? We'll say our threes together. Like you say your threes.
It's Rodri, Rice and Phil Foden.
I am Rice, Bernardo Silva... And I've got
I've got the correct answer for you.
Okay, I'm going to go Phil Foden. Phil Foden, Declan Rice, and Bernardo Silva.
I'm putting Foden on the left.
No, you Foden's can't. He's playing as a midfielder. But
Bernardo's been playing as a right winger.
You're allowed to do that.
It is. This is the correct answer. Rice, Rodri, Kai Havertz.
In the midfield?
If it's an Arsenal, Rodri behind him.
Okay. He's
been playing false nine.
If I can't have Bernardo Silva, it goes Odegaard.
He's been playing false nine.
Odegaard.
He's been also playing.
So you're dropping Odegaard for Havertz?
Odegaard, Rice, Foden. You're right.
And De Bruyne.
It's Odegaard.
Odegaard, Rice.
I don't think De Bruyne gets in ahead of Havertz this season.
In midfield, of course.
Based on this season.
Rodri, Rice, and his first game in the Premier League.
I forgot about Odegaard. You're right.
His numbers are way better than Kai Havertz.
I think Odegaard is Arsenal's
best player. Rice, Foden, Odegaard.
Yeah, you're right.
See, the goal he scored against Brighton, De Bruyne.
So we all agree with that midfield three. Rice, Rodri, Odegaard. Booby's got Rice, Foden.
It has to be Rodri. He's the best player in the league. And people won't say it because he's a holding midfielder. He's still unbeaten. It's close to 70 games. Unbeaten. It's unbelievable. Rice has been incredible. And Phil Foden is...
So is it Rodri, Rice, Foden?
Rodri, Rice, Odegaard.
Rodri.
You said Kai Havertz a minute
ago. Yeah, but I changed my mind, man.
Rodri. The answer is this. I've got the right answer. Rodri, Rice, Foden.
Odegaard.
Yeah.
Rodri, Rice, Odegaard.
2-3.
Okay.
Rodri, Rice, Odegaard. On my left, I've got Foden. So Foden is in my team.
But you can't do that.
He's not a left winger.
I just did. He's not good enough. If it's a winger, it's Jack Grealish.
You can put in Trossard left wing, Foden, Grealish, Doku.
Trossard, Martinelli. Who's the other one you said?
Doku.
None of them have been better than Foden this year.
No, agreed.
Of course not. Doku's not been a better midfielder than Firth. No, we can't, but he isn't the best player in that position.
But when you were about to put Bernardo Silva in your midfield, it was all right.
You did change.
You showed flexibility.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Pragmatism.
I'm not. Foden's left.
Okay.
Okay, so we just outvote him 2-3. So it's your choice, Rory, whatever you want. I think Trossard left wing.
I think Trossard has been brilliant. It's not Martinelli. It's not Foden, it's not Martinelli, it's not Doku.
It's not Grealish because of injuries.
Trossard has had his best ever season. It's Trossard.
It's Trossard.
Foden, Saka on the wings, and it's Kai Havertz up front.
You picked Kai Havertz in midfield a minute ago.
No, Kai Havertz is in my team. He's been better than Haaland this season.
He hasn't.
He's not scoring in the league.
You just had him as a midfielder.
Arsenal fans, you're on my side here, innit?
Come on.
You just had him as a midfielder.
Yeah, but he's got to be in my team. Havertz has to be in this team.
I'm sorry, Havertz has to be in this team.
Goals against Brentford?
He's not better than Haaland.
Yeah, I don't think Havertz is a better striker than Haaland. I think he just deserves to be in this team. And if I can get him in somewhere, it's there. So I'm going Havertz.
Okay. I mean, I think my front three is Trossard, Saka, Haaland. It has to be Haaland. I don't think Haaland's had a particularly good season, but he's still on for the golden boot.
We're looking at a Haaland that's been hooked off in so many games.
He's still on for the golden
crucial
boot.
Crucial games as well.
Havertz deserves some recognition for his form this season.
I think he's been instrumental for what
he could be first sub.
Mm. Right, Havertz in the team.
No, but being a brilliant player doesn't mean you have to be in. We're leaving lots of brilliant players out.
Yeah, we are. I think Havertz deserves it.
Okay. We can debate Haaland, but he's top scorer in the league, isn't he, essentially?
If I was picking my best 11, Haaland's there.
But Haaland's form's been better than Havertz in terms of being a goal scorer.
Havertz has been more clutch than Haaland this season.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if he scored less goals, then he's by definition less clutch, isn't he? He scored more important goals. What, against Brentford?
Stop saying against Brentford.
In the highlighter kit.
Without those 3 points, they might not win the league.
Yes, Haaland's goals have contributed towards 3 points as well, and that's the definition of football.
All right, thanks. Anyway, we are brought to you by Super 6. Make sure you check it out, Super 6. Download the app. The link's in the description below. If you don't know what Super 6 is, tell them what it is, Boovy.
Super 6 is a huge opportunity to win cash prizes every single week for predicting some big football scores, 250 grand, sometimes even more. If you join our Min League, you could be getting some cash prizes as well, 100 quid to win at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. And there's a huge game against Pitchside at the end of the season that we cannot wait to be a part of.
They're going to get so slapped up.
Oh, God, it's going to be good. What we're going to be talking about today, though, is VAR. Does VAR need to be scrapped? It's causing nothing but problems, nothing but drama. Nottingham Forest last week lost their minds, didn't they? They went onto Twitter. They put up a very aggressive tweet. And I think that everybody's had enough of it. Sweden have now got rid of it.
That they banned Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher from their stadium.
I think that is true.
So Monday Night Football at Forest, they can't
be there. They have to do it from a studio. Yeah.
Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher couldn't be there for City Forest.
That's crazy.
You've got to like it.
That's good.
You've got to rate it.
Well done, Forest.
As much as I love Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, I think they bring a lot of great authenticity to what they do, and I love their opinions. I think Louis Saha had it spot on in that review of the game. He's saying, why can't Nottingham Forest, as a big institution, question VAR and how bad the refereeing has been in the league this season?
No, I don't think there's an issue with Forrest questioning it. I do think there's an issue with Forrest taking it to social media. Like, I don't think anybody should ever be taking things to social, like, not an institution like Forrest, an institution like Bouvier. I would say that don't take it to Twitter. You know, if there's something like important in your life, you know, people like take big decisions.
Yeah, this is where me and
it's
you
like
kind of
really
disagree.
Unedifying, man.
Because I think ultimately social media nowadays is a branch of communication, right? It's a branch where you can put statements out. So putting it on your Twitter or putting it on your website is the same thing.
But Twitter is incredibly toxic.
And we kind
of criticised
Arsenal. Remember Arsenal did a statement when they had a decision goal against them. And we kind of laughed at it and said, this is small time. What are you doing? I don't mind a manager having a goal in his interview. But then what you find is they get suspended sometimes. So clubs are in a position now where Forrest have to appoint a bellend like Clattenburg to be their spokesman against referees.
Yeah, media.
Because the manager's going to get banned if he says what he really thinks. So I feel like whilst I think it's wrong to make those statements and put those statements out there like that, and I'd rather see them just go out in a press conference or an interview, managers have their hand tied now. They're either getting fined, they're getting suspended, and then
But we know that social media has a tendency to be flammable. We know
It's like if you just put something out on social media and people act in a bad way to that, that's not your fault, right? Just for putting it out there.
Well, it is if you know that people are going to react badly to it. You have a responsibility.
But again, I think we're getting lost. It's just...
We're getting lost in a buy argument. We're ultimately... The main issue is that VAR is ruining the sport in this league. It's ruining football. And yeah, we can debate if Nottingham Forest should be, you know, doing what they're doing. Chelsea, the way they got robbed, in my opinion, of a legitimate 3-2 win, it would have been at Villa Park. It was absolutely embarrassing. The way they're reviewing football matches and re-refereeing the games, it's ridiculous.
No, I agree. I mean, that what it's taking away from the game, it's removing so much. So much of what's good about football is lost trying to perfect a sport that is, by its very nature, imperfect. Like, it doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be, like, totally flawless. I think there is an acceptance from the vast majority of football fans that occasionally an offside goal might be given against you. In fact, there definitely is, because even now, when we have VAR, we still all have to accept that ill-gotten goals will be ruled as legitimate.
I was always against the introduction of VAR from the start because I think it changes football at all different levels. But I also remember these conversations happening before where it was like, people are losing jobs because of referees and bad decisions and this, that and the other. So I also remember there being that kind of push for VAR. And then once it's here, the same people are pushing back.
Because we thought it would work. It was a very noble experiment that has ultimately been proved to be flawed.
What do you think is the biggest issue with VAR? Is it the offsides?
No, the offside is the issue for me. Yeah, the offside.
So with that changing to the UEFA style of things, would that appease you?
But the Chelsea goal was about a push. And if the referee doesn't see that push as a foul at the time, the referee should be refereeing 99% of the game. He should see what he sees and make decisions. VAR should be used in moments where someone gets punched off the camera behind his back. Yeah. He doesn't see it. Some big challenge that he might not see because there's someone in the way. There has to be one in a hundred decisions, or maybe 10 out of 100 or whatever. It's a very small margin. He's used VAR to re-referee the game because he can't be bold enough to make a decision. It's making him worse at his job.
In fairness, though, Booth, I think he did make a decision. The decision
was a non-decision.
Yeah, the decision was goal.
Yeah,
he didn't think it was a foul.
Exactly. So they're re-refereeing games almost in these soft moments, and it's just creating this drudgery.
The referee had a clear eye line. Like, there was no issue with the referee's view. There was no reason to look at VAR. The referee had the perfect purchase of the situation. He had the perfect spot, and he was in the perfect, in terms of the distance that he was from the situation. So the only reason now to review it is to re-referee the game.
I think there's a lot of things as well. It's like when you look at some of the penalty decisions that you see given, the one that wasn't given against City in the FA Cup, and then you've seen similar things given after. The inconsistency of that is crazy, whether you think the penalties or not, just the inconsistency of it isn't good as well.
The Jack Grealish handball from a free kick.
And then you see the Wan-Bissaka one that's given, it's kind of similar, do you know what I mean?
The ball inadvertently hit a player's hand 24 hours later, once it was a penalty, once it wasn't. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not making the sport any more accurate in terms of decision making.
It's making us as well. It's so trying, isn't it? It's like painful having these chats, just talking about VAR.
I think we could get away from this by moving to Sweden, because this is from The Telegraph. Sweden have become the first country to refuse to use video assistant referees following a fan revolt against the introduction. the president of the Swedish Football Association, Fredrik Reinfeldt, confirmed VAR would not be implemented in its competitions, having previously proclaimed the system our future.
See, this is brilliant. I wonder if it will be a movement. I wonder if it will be, you know, the impetus for other organisations to jump ship as well.
This obviously comes from the fact that Swedish clubs are at least 51% fan-owned. So therefore, fans have more of a say over there than they do here. Mm. So there's that.
See, we've also got no power, have we? We're just so insignificant. And I think that we're all fans of clubs who exist in a league where the clubs basically see us as insignificant.
We are insignificant. I think the club...
We're not. We're completely not, but we're seen as being insignificant.
Oh, but yeah, no, well,
the reason why
the clubs there.
The reason why we're insignificant is because we as individuals are replaceable, but we're not insignificant as a collective.
Oh, of course not. But football, like, I think COVID taught us a lot about what football thinks of fans. I don't think they'd care if no fans are in the grounds. It's all about what they sell outside.
No. I think they care. I think they care. I really do. The reason why they want full stadiums is to make the TV product better.
My point around that maybe could have been made better. I think they care more about the hundreds of thousands of people that are outside that stadium than are inside.
They do, but they need full stadiums to make the hundreds of thousands of people outside the stadium care. Mm. It's a soulless product if you have no fans in the back of the shot. The reason why fans are so important is because to football companies, to football owners, the reason why fans are so important is because it makes their product sweeter.
Mm. Are there any ways that VAR could be improved in like this new offside thing that's potentially coming in, the UEFA thing?
No.
Maybe bring that in and remove VAR and make that automated.
These referees are shit, bro.
It amplifies how bad they are.
These referees.
It's like Twitter amplifying the biggest idiots in the world, like the ones that back VAR in the first place. The
referees are shocking.
Mm. Anyway. I think in the first place, I think it was a good idea. I probably backed it in the first place, but I immediately went back on that when I realised it was terrible.
I knew it was bad.
What tournament was it where VAR was pretty good? Was it
Qatar?
Qatar was okay.
It was really good.
Qatar.
Man.
Good's a big word.
I thought.
Okay. It was
they
okay.
implemented it well.
Qatar, yeah.
Remember, guys, you can win £250,000 by playing Super 6 for absolutely free. We've also got a league. Our code is Club23. And you can win a voucher for classic football shirts every single week by topping our league in the weeklies. But if you top our league for the season, you could be playing for Club FC against Pitchside. Right. Taxi 4 time. Who is the Taxi 4 this weekend?
I've got to give it Millwall fans for giving it large against Plymouth, Argyle.
Jesus, you know we've got to go to the Den.
And
right?
pretending to be hard nuts, basically.
We're going to get...
They're getting held behind by this little ribbon. This little ribbon by these little guys holding it.
No comment all the way.
No comment. We're going to the Den in a few weeks. No comment.
They've got a girls' coffee in Bermondsey these days.
Yeah, that's fair. Lovely. I agree. I agree.
Oh, you agree?
I agree, but I didn't say it. So if anyone gets clips, it's Boovy.
Yeah, I disagree with Boovy massively. Taxi 4 would be for Ange Postecoglou. The fuck are you doing, man? You got a chance to stop Arsenal winning the league and you bend over for them.
There we go.
Have a day off. Anyway, thank you for listening to another podcast.
It's been emotional. We really do appreciate you listening. Make sure that you leave us a 5-star review. It massively helps us out. We would be over the moon if you would be kind enough to click subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. In a bit.